recently came across a commentary by Paul Harvey entitled, If I Were the Devil. If I were the devil, I would gain control of the most powerful nation in the world. I would delude the minds of the people into thinking that their power and prosperity had come from man's efforts instead of God's blessings. I would promote an attitude of loving things and using people instead of the other way around. I would dupe entire states into relying on gambling for the main source of revenue. I would convince people that character is not an issue. I would make it illegal to take the life of unborn babies. I'd make it socially acceptable to take one's own life and invent machines to make it more convenient. I would take God out of the schools where even the mention of his name is grounds for a lawsuit. I would come up with drugs that would sedate the mind and target the young, and I will get sports heroes to advertise them. I would get control of the media so that every night I could pollute the minds of every family member for my agenda. I would attack the family, the backbone of any nation. I would compel people to express their most depraved fantasies on canvas and movie screens. I would call it art. I would convince people that right and wrong are determined by a few who call themselves authorities and refer to their agendas as politically correct. I would persuade people that the church is irrelevant and out of date and that the Bible is for the naive. I would institutionalize the church to the degree that her number one priority would be the preservation of the institution, not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would dull the minds of Christians, make them believe that prayer is not important, and that faithfulness is optional. And it really doesn't matter what you believe about God as long as you are sincere in your belief. I would, well, come to think of it, I would leave things pretty much the way they are now. As Pope St. John Paul II warned at the beginning of the third millennium, the year 2000, as the family goes, so does the nation, and so does the whole world in which we live. Friends, the world is changing faster than we can imagine, and we're called to stay alert and pay attention, take stock of what's going on all around us. And there's no question that the family is in danger. The question for this holy day is, how can we rechart the course to the right direction, one that is wholesome and together? So today, we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Against this bleak backdrop for society, the Church invites us to look at the example of the Holy Family. Of course, some will say, well, that's great, Father. Joseph was a celibate, Mary was a virgin, Jesus is the Son of God. That's an ideal family, a perfect family. My family's not. How can we even be like them? Well, let's not forget that this is the Feast of the Holy Family. The Church doesn't use the term perfect family or ideal family. This is to help us to avoid the temptation to look at the Holy Family as unreachable, something that is too good to believe or to be true. Truth of the matter is, the Holy Family was not exempt from the harsh realities of life. They had troubles. They had heartbreaks. They had problems that beset as our families experience today. They had their struggles for survival. Jesus was born in a stable, the place for animals. He also experienced being away from home, for they had to flee from the cruel king who wanted to kill the child. And they had their shares of struggle for survival. But they conquered those struggles through a deep, abiding faith. And the real faith, the real test of that faith, was being obedient to God's will. The word obedience means to listen. What is God's will for me, for my family? Mary's faith enabled her to accept God's plan. Let it be done to me as you say. Joseph's faith made him strong to protect and provide for his family. And Joseph was a man who walked not by sight, but by faith, day after day. And Jesus, having emptied himself, had faith in his Father's will, and also in his parents, their love for him, to nurture him. Today's gospel, the Deacon Dan proclaimed, Jesus being separated from his parents, is a great illustration of that disagreement, that separation, but a strong faith in God. And what does Luke tell us? Jesus went home and grew obedient to his parents. The book of Sirach that Wayne proclaimed this morning encouraged each member of the family to respect one another, from mom and dad and children, the whole household called to respect. Even when parents get old and their mind fail, all the more reason to take care of them and remember that love is very fragile, but love is close to home. Brother Paul gives us the recipe in his letter to the Colossians. Paul reminds us, deal with each other out of kindness. Be patient, count to 10 and start again and again. Don't keep score. Forgive and forget and respect one another. Pope Francis this morning says, a family needs to have dialogue and needs to listen. Are we listening to one another and hearing what each other is saying or not saying? And in the family, there's no room for pride or selfishness. My way, it's really our way. A team, one for all for one. The only formula for happy and strong family is God. And what does Paul say? Whatever you do, whether in speech or in action, do it in the name of the Lord. And I love that challenge. Be grateful. If there's gratitude in our heart, there's no room for bitterness or regrets, but overflowing joy and happiness. So we embark on a journey. The Jubilee year has begun, as the banner reminds us, pilgrims of hope. And as doors are being opened around the world, so hopefully the doors of our hearts and homes are being opened to walk with God with one another. So this weekend, in conjunction with the beginning of the Jubilee year, we're participating in an activity called Companion Saints. And before you leave church today, there are people at the doors with baskets full of saints' names. And the Holy Spirit is being called upon by saying, "Come, Holy Spirit," as we invite you to pull a slip of paper that contains the name of a saint or blessed, include the date of their feast day, a quote about them, or insight about them, and a personal prayer and intention to walk with them day by day in this year of Jubilee. And so the tradition is that it is the Holy Spirit that accompanies us, each of us, on the journey of life, from the youngest to the oldest in between, and with that saint joining us day by day, every step of the way. And of course, as you take your slip, there are no exchanges or returns. So let's have fun learning about that saint, praying for that special intention, and watching how this companion saint shows us how we can walk the walk as they did too. And so, in closing, this last Sunday of the year, let's keep the best. And God willing, as we enter this new year, the Jubilee year, 2025, let's join together as a team, as a family, to entrust our families the protection of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And we hope that God will also walk with us and guide us along the way. So God willing, that day will come when we, the family of God, will gather with Him, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, our family forever. And so may God bless us this Jubilee year. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.